BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's all about hockey. This is the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub with Ryan Johnston, Justin Rod, and Bob Beers. Presented by Shaws and Star Market. Download the Shaws app or Star Market app and save today. Also brought to you by Devlin Energy, Mass General Brigham, Sparks Hockey, Dairy Queen, UFOS Recovery Footwear, and Sports Etc.
Welcome in to another edition of the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Hope you're having a good Saturday morning. And it is that time of year. Been waiting for it since it seems like forever. But the playoffs have arrived. And a Monday night at TD Garden, Game 1, as the Bruins will take on the Florida Panthers. Obviously, we will preview that series quite a bit this morning. We'll talk about some of the other matchups that we'll see in this postseason as well. We'll be joined by our regular guests in the second hour, Ty Anderson, 98.5thesportshub.com. Billy Jaffe from Nesson will join us. We will also talk with Brian Boucher coming up in about a half hour from now and talk about some of the expectations for this postseason, but we're here also to take your calls throughout at 617-779-0985. Ryan Johnston with, of course, Judd Surratt and Bob Beers, who will be calling the action throughout the playoffs. You know, it's not often you go through a season with 65 wins. In fact, it's literally never happened in the history of the NHL. So a little bit of uncharted territory, but as I said, it has felt like, at least for me, I've been waiting for the playoffs to start since about Christmas. It's like, we know this is one of the best teams in the NHL. Let's get to it. But I also don't want to diminish what was an unbelievable season by this team. A team that, as we've talked about throughout the season, the expectations were kind of low among some people. We didn't really know what to expect, especially given what they were going to face injury-wise early on in the season. They came out of the gate strong and never really slowed down from that point. It has been an amazing season start to finish through 82 games.
Well, expectations were low early.
Yes.
But I don't think over the whole season they were low. I mean, I just think that coming out of the gate because of some of the injuries that obviously nobody expected this. But, you know, okay, you got to deal with a couple of huge injuries to start the year. Let's get off to a good start. You know, kind of maintain pace, and then when we get these guys back, then we can kind of, you know, make up some ground. So I don't think expectations were low coming into the season over an 82-game schedule. I think maybe just the beginning of the year, expectations were tempered a little bit because of the injuries that they had to face, and then they exceeded everything all year long, I mean, whether at the beginning of the year or any other injuries that they've had to deal with during the season.
And that's one of the things that Jim Montgomery talked to us about, even at the tail end of the season in that last game in Montreal. He had mentioned that we got an idea how good the team was because of the way that they played at the beginning of the season without key players in the lineup. No McAvoy, no Marchand, no Grizzlick. And that's when he said, I started to realize just how deep and how good we are. There's a couple things that come to mind. First of all, the NHL has a record site. I don't think I've ever looked at it as much as I have this year, considering what the Bruins have done. But I'm just looking up and down the roster, and the way that I have the game sheet when I prep, look at all the guys who had career years. Pastrnak, Lindholm, Matt Grizzlick, a plus 46, Pavel Zacha, Jake DeBrusk, Trent Frederick, Nick Foligno had a monster season, Connor Clifton a career year. Brandon Carlo had the best year of his career. A.J. Greer, Linus Ullmark, Jeremy Swayman. That's a lot of guys. And so now you start to add those pieces up, and what you get is 65 wins.
How does it happen? I mean, listen, I get that, you know, some guys are going to play above, you know, what the expectations are for them during the course of the season. But to have that many players and have overperformed what we've seen out of them in the past, how does that all come together all at once like that?
You got to give a ton of credit to the coaching staff. Really. Bruce Cassidy was a really good coach the entire time he was here. But there are different styles to different coaches. And how positive can you be coming from Jim Montgomery is basically the philosophy that has been all season. And you mentioned career years for some of these guys. There's different ways to push buttons to get players going and to manage them. There are players that respond to tough love. There are players who don't. They go the other way. You know, they shut down. And you got to be able to reach all players. And it's not easy. I think it's one of the most underestimated or areas for a coach to be able to reach how many different personalities you have on that team. Now, he's fortunate, Jim Montgomery is, and his staff is, that he's got the leadership that he does, because you can turn to that. And he does. He leans on it hard. I mean, he leans on Bergeron for his opinions on different things, whether it's little things like travel or you know, when to go, when not, you know, everything. I don't think people can imagine how many things he leans on him for to try to get the pulse of the team. But when you're dealing with 20 different personalities, plus your staff, you know, your assistant coaches, your equipment guys, your medical guys, he's dealing with a lot of different people. Swings, you know, I mean, so you got to be able to deal with it on an everyday basis and reach these guys to get the most out of them. And I think Monty is Jimmy Montgomery has really been able to do that this year. He's going to win the Jack Adams. Right.
I can't see
how anybody else beats him. Right. We have a vote. Judd.
I cast mine yesterday. He was number one. Lindy Ruff was number two.
I mean, and he deserves a lot of credit. He really does. And to try to maximize everybody's performance and to reach a lot of different personalities over a long season. And he's been able to do it.
He likes to joke that he's got the easiest job in the National Hockey League because of the core, just to add on what Beersey talked about, because he has these core players. And this is where I think we also have to add in some of the moves that were made along the way with the general manager, Don Sweeney. David Krejci comes back. So now everybody's slotted a little bit differently. You have a legitimate second-line center, and these guys performed like they have basically for the last decade, Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci. And I remember talking to Milan Lucic. He's like, I don't think that everybody realizes just how fortunate the Bruins have been for so long to have those two guys doing what they're doing as your number one and number two center. But now just to add on to that, now you see the fruits of adding Hampus Lindholm. You get the three guys at the trade deadline. Orlov is just going to be amazing. Orlov, Bertuzzi, and Hathaway are just an absolutely perfect fit. Pavel Zacha has been the left-handed version of Charlie Coyle. He's been outstanding. And by the way, Coyle and Zacha played all 82 games. There are only three guys to do it, the other being David Pastrnak.
Well, Hathaway played 84.
By the way, Tyson Barrie's going to play 85. Yeah. I think, again, we are adding these little pieces, and then what you get is a historic season out of the National Hockey League because of all these things when you combine them. But I went back and actually listened to the opening press conference from Cam Neely and Don Sweeney, and they had a really good feeling about the team heading into the season, and it's played out.
The other thing that it has been amazing as this team has gone on through the year is just the consistency factor. You know, you can talk about kind of the final totals and how many guys had career years, but the consistency along the way where even really good teams tend to go through stretches in the season where the game isn't there, whatever reason, you know, maybe you're playing teams that you don't really get up for, and things kind of get away from you for maybe a couple of weeks, and you might lose four games, five games, six games in a row, even when you're one of the best teams in the league. And that doesn't happen with this group, right? For whatever reason, they have been able to really, and it's something that has come up on the show a number of times this year. Like, you know, how many games can you think of where the Bruins weren't there that night? And it really doesn't happen.
Count on one hand.
Yeah. And that says something about the makeup of this team too, that they just don't allow themselves to get into that mindset, even when they were blowing everybody away in the league and they really didn't have anything to play for other than setting records over the course of the last few weeks.
Oh, that's definitely the case. I know that they talked all season long that when they would lose just one game, that, okay, we're going to nip this in the bud right now. Right now it's going to get taken care of. They lost back-to-back games in regulation once all year long. I think what was their longest skid? They went winless in three games, maybe four. That's incredible.
No, they lost one. They lost back-to-back games once, and it was Detroit, Chicago. And I'm comfortable talking about it because Montgomery talked about it. The coaches met. The leadership group met with the coach, and the next thing you know, they won, I don't know, seven or eight in a row. I don't want to
15
know what
of the next 16.
Yeah, right.
To finish
exactly.
Out the season.
To finish off the year. Yeah. The only loss they had was Nashville. Since then,
yeah.
Like they take pride in it, and they, you know, their buzzwords are, you know, process, stay in the moment, which means one game at a time, and you know it's just they don't want it the losing to linger. They want to make sure that the habits are good, and if the habits are good and the process is good, they're deep enough that they're going to win most games. Maybe they get shut out by a hot goaltender. Maybe they get, you know, maybe they don't get some puck luck or whatever, and the results maybe aren't there. It's a closer game than it should be. It seems like they win anyhow, but that's the process, and staying in the moment have been their buzzwords all year long.
All right, so we get started with a little look back at games number 1 through 82, and now we get on to the postseason as the Bruins get ready to take on the Florida Panthers in round 1 of the playoffs starting on Monday night. The full schedule for that series is out. Monday, Wednesday at the Garden, both 7:30 faceoffs. Friday night in Florida, followed by a Sunday 3:30 game for game 4 down in Florida as well. And then it'll go Wednesday, Friday, Sunday if it needs to go into games 5, 6, and 7. We will talk more about that in the matchup with Florida coming up, and your calls as well, 617-779-0985, here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers. The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Mind strong, body strong, try to find equilibrium.
98.5 The Sports Hub. It's the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show here on a Saturday morning as we get ready for round 1 of the playoffs starting Monday night at TD Garden. Ryan Johnston joined by Judd Surratt and Bob Beers. And your calls, of course, at 617-779-0985. Let's get it started with Maria in Watertown. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning, gentlemen. As magical as the 2011 Stanley Cup Finals run was, I don't recall the regular season being as historically unbelievable and fantastic as this year. So congratulations to everyone in the organization and kudos to the training staff. I don't know if there are awards for training staff, But the Bruins training staff has been phenomenal in getting these guys back on the ice and keeping the rest of the guys healthy. My question related to the Florida Panthers is, what areas of concern do you have as far as this matchup goes? Because my one big area of concern is the Tkachuk factor, but I'm also hoping that guys like Orlov and Hathaway and Bertuzzi are a real scotch to that player. So I just am curious to see what your thoughts are. Thank you for the time, guys.
All right. Appreciate the call, Maria. Let's talk a little bit about the matchup here. 2-1-1 record for the Bruins this year against the Panthers. So Florida had some success against you, but
doesn't mean anything.
There you go. So what problems, if any, does the Florida Panthers roster present to this Bruins team in a 7-game series?
Well, they're a dangerous offensive team. And if you look at the way that they're built, they also get a ton of goal production out of the back end. The Bruins actually have more points from their decor than the Panthers do, but the Panthers, with Ekblad, Montour, Forsling in particular, they're going to generate a lot of activity. And then up front, you know, obviously the first guy you think about is Matthew Tkachuk. They have a lot of other weapons, but they have one of the most underrated two-way players in the league in Sasha Barkov. He's a really good player.
He used to be underrated. I don't think he's underrated just because he's in Florida, but he's a superstar. So there's a lot of issues that they create for you. Offensively, they're good. Montour's had a monster season. Ekblad's been a little off this year, but Montour's he's had a great year from the back end. Forsling's probably plays a little bit more than he should, you know, but he's a competent player. Carter Verhaeghe's got 40 goals this year.
That's another guy who's wildly underrated.
You know, they've got guys that can put the puck in the net. Can you get to them defensively? Yeah. Can you get to them in net? Who knows who they're going to play in net?
Well, that's the big question.
That's my big question going in, is who's going to play in net. And if it is Alex Lyon, you got to be able to beat Alex Lyon. I got to believe it's Bobrovsky that's going to play. But he didn't get him there. Lyon got him there. If it wasn't for Lyon in the last 2 weeks, when Bobrovsky got sick, they weren't in the playoffs.
Bobrovsky has not played since March 27th. He backed up this week, so they stayed with Lyons here in the last couple of games, despite the fact that Bobrovsky was healthy enough to dress. But even Bobrovsky, I mean, listen, we know his background, but his season this year, 24-20-3, 3.07 goals against, and a .901 save percentage. I mean, this is a $10 million a year goalie, so you pay him to be your number one guy, certainly, but, I mean, he basically lost his job to Alex Lyon here down the stretch after he got sick.
I'll be very curious to see how Paul Maurice plays this out. It wouldn't surprise me to see Alex Lyon in game one and then TBA down the road. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not uncommon for a lot of different coaches, but the Bruins are going to see Sergei Bobrovsky at some point. And if the Florida Panthers are going to try and win this series, I think it's going to have to rest on a guy like Sergei Bobrovsky and living up to the contract. This is a guy who's been in the league since 2010, 2011. He's won two playoff series. Now, granted, I'll give you that he was with some Columbus teams that had a hard time making the playoffs. But when he has been in the postseason, he has not risen to the level that a lot of people felt he should have.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, they had a rather disappointing run in the playoffs last year after winning the President's Trophy, and, you know, he was part of that. I mean, he wasn't necessarily only the reason that they lost, but, you know, they didn't get nearly as far as they would have liked last year with him in between the pipes.
But I also think about, you know, for the Florida Panthers, I keep thinking about what they did last year. And what's interesting about this is you have this year's President's Trophy winner meeting last year's President's Trophy winner, and they barely made the playoffs this year. But they played a run-and-gun style that I kept thinking late in the season, are you going to be able to do this for 2 months to win a Stanley Cup? And the truth was, it lasted just over a round. They won one round.
They almost lost the first round. They had a huge break in the first round.
They were this close. They were one post away from going down 3-1 to the Washington Capitals, the eighth seed in that first round, before they pulled it out. And then they got smoked in the second round by the Tampa Bay Lightning. I think everybody was expecting a better series last year between those two. It did not materialize. So, Have they really changed their ways?
They feel they're better equipped. They do feel, with the addition of Tkachuk, they feel they're better equipped. And with a couple playoff losses under their belt, right? Like you, sometimes it takes a couple playoff losses before you learn and get better at it. So they do feel that they are more prepared for it this year. But, you know, we'll see. It's not going to be easy. I know that because they're a good team. They're a good team. And when I said about the regular season, you play teams at different times of the year. You know, you're playing four games in six nights. You've got a couple of injuries. You're a little banged up. You know, you're playing a back-to-back. I remember the one game down in Florida a couple months ago. They should have won that game, and Florida scored late to tie it, and then they beat them in, I think it was overtime, maybe.
Yeah. Or another game where you're coming off somebody's 1,000th point.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Little celebration.
Guys might have been a little groggy.
Yeah, there's so many different factors during a season, and so I don't, you know, whether you swept them four games to none, that wouldn't have any factor, any bearing for me anyhow, or they swept you four games tonight. It's just it would have no bearing on it at all. I don't believe, you know, when the playoffs start, it's just something completely different. Did you have Orloff and Hathaway and Bertuzzi when you played them earlier in the season? No. Well, you know, so there's all kinds of different things to look at.
Let's go to John in Detroit up next. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to say it's been just an incredible season, and it's been so much fun watching here from Detroit. I've been a fan for a long time, and this has just been, I think probably because of my age, it's been the most exciting season of my life. So thanks again for thanks to the Bruins and thanks to you guys. My question is, looking a little bit ahead, who do you see as the best or possibly the most formidable matchups against the Bruins going forward in the playoffs? Thanks very much.
The first team that I'm focused on is the Florida Panthers.
The only team I'm
focused
on.
That's it.
Worry about Tampa and Toronto next round, but this is, this is going to be, it's going to be a tough series. I don't know how many games are going to go. Everybody starts asking that, you know, what's your pick? You know, what's your prediction? I don't know. I do think that if the Bruins are healthy, fully healthy, which we expect them to be, or close to it, right? Maybe not Foligno, maybe not Forbert, but close to it. I like their chances a lot, but I just don't think. I don't think it's a, you know, they're just going to roll right over them. I think the games are going to be really competitive, very competitive. I expect Florida to put up a good fight. I do expect the Bruins to come out on top, obviously, but it's not going to be easy.
No, and look,
it'll be a fun series.
Well, and that's part of the playoffs. Is it doesn't matter if it's one versus eight; it's always tough. It's supposed to be tough, and you know you can listen. Fans will look ahead. I'm sure, as you said, we're all focused right now on the Florida Panthers. But you know, top to bottom, there's not going to be a team in the East that's going to be an easy out. It doesn't matter who you wind up playing, whether if you advance in this series. It's going to be difficult all the way through, and that's what the NHL playoffs are supposed to be. So,
there's no question about it. I think the other thing that we'll probably talk about a little bit more as we go on is the importance of special teams for both of these groups. If you look, I think the Bruins finished third in most minors taken. Florida was number one. Bruins penalty killing, number one. Florida's 23rd. So sort of emblematic of the way that they also played 5-on-5, where they really struggled. A lot of offense, struggle in the back end in preventing goals. But, you know, when you've got a few guys, you know, listen, if Matthew Tkachuk is going to spend a lot of time in the penalty box, the Bruins are deep enough to really take advantage of
that. He's going
to
spend a lot of time around the front of
the net. There's no question about that. And the Bruins, they are equipped to handle that.
All right, we will continue with a conversation with Brian Boucher. Get a national perspective on the playoff lineup as we get ready to open up the playoffs on Monday night. It's Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers with you on the Shaws and Star Market.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
From the front office to center ice, this is the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
That was able to clear. Here's Elias with speed, shoot-handed.
All right, back here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show, Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers with you. We'll dip into the archives there as our next guest joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Longtime NHL goaltender turned analyst on ESPN, Brian Boucher is with us this morning. Morning, Brian.
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
Morning, Boucher. Hey, thanks for jumping on. Boucher, let's start here.
You bet.
Let's start here. Go back. You won a Calder Cup with Jim Montgomery and the Phantoms back in 1998. What was he like then, and did you see a future Jack Adams winner?
I don't know if I saw a future Jack Adams winner, but, you know, Monty was always a guy that he had confidence. He was a guy that was ultra confident and you know, you always knew he was in the room. And, you know, back then he would challenge. Our coach was Bill Barber with the Philadelphia Phantoms. And boy, he'd challenge Billy all the time. He'd always ask him why, always push the envelope. But you could see that Monty was a real smart hockey guy and obviously had pedigree coming in, you know, into minor pro there, you know, having been the captain there at Maine and having won. And so he was a guy that, you know, at the American League level was a very good player, very good offensive player, created offense, played on the power play, but he had an opinion and he pushed the envelope. I don't know that I ever thought that he'd be a coach necessarily. I think the thing that stands out to me is just that he was such an ultra confident guy that, looking back on it now, I'm not surprised that he's doing what he's doing. He was successful in the USHL, successful at college, and he's been successful at the NHL. So when you have that confidence and belief in yourself, obviously you can do great things.
Boucher, thanks for coming on. I know that you've been a lot out west this year, but certainly you've seen the East a little bit and the Bruins' opponent, the Florida Panthers. Just what can you tell us about them? What insight can you give us about them if you've seen them a few times this year?
Yeah, I just had them, Bearsy, this past week. They had a game against Toronto where if they won that game, they were going to clinch. They ended up losing that game and got in because of I forget who lost the next night. Maybe the Islanders lost. So that's how they clinched. But a team that is playing good hockey right now, and you know, we all know that timing is everything, right? You kind of get things going in the right direction at the right time of year. I was part of a team like that back in 2010. We stumbled and then finally got going there and we ended up going to the final. So when you get going at the right time of year, it can be good. Kachuk's been a beast. He's been awesome for that team. Barkov is healthy right now. He's playing well. Verhaeghe had a great year, 42 goals. They've got a good team. They're a fast team. They remind me in a lot of ways of Carolina in the sense that they're on you quick. They throw a lot of pucks on net. They're not always necessarily high quality chances, but they do try to give volume towards the net. The back end, Montour had a great year this year. He's chipped in offensively, career year for him. I think he doubled his point totals this year. Now that Uyghur's gone and he's had a chance to really get more minutes and elevate his play. But the big question.
that was my next question for you.
yeah. Is all that being said, it's in goal. And I actually think it's a problem for him because, you know, with Bobrovsky being sick there towards the end of the year, and he was really sick. He really hadn't had a chance to get going and get practicing. You know, Lyon did a great job to get him in, but there's always this, like, hey, when do you get to Bob? You know, like, this is a big, it's a problem for Maurice, I think. I think, you know, he's probably going to probably start Alex Lyon, I assume, but you got to think that the clock is going to strike 12 on this guy, and the Cinderella story is going to end here at some point. I know that feeling when you're a guy that's not a true number one or a true NHL goalie. You can catch lightning in a bottle, but at some point when, you know, you kind of take a breather, things can change. And if it changes on you, then you've got Bobrovsky, who hasn't played in a long time. There's going to be rust in his game. And I think inevitably it's going to end up being a problem for them in this series against Boston. I just can't imagine that Lyon starts the series and finishes the series and they end up winning. I just could never foresee something like that against a powerhouse team like Boston.
Well, we've seen Bobrovsky. We saw him when he played with Columbus. You know, certainly we've seen him in the division here with Florida. So we kind of know his style. We kind of know the way that he plays. But can you break down Alex Lyon's game and how teams should try to maybe attack him, or, you know, strengths and weaknesses of his game?
Well, I don't think technically he's as sound as most NHL guys. He seems to play on feel, Beersey. Which, you know, feel can be good because, you know, when you're feeling it and you're confident and your reads are good, it goes well. But sometimes when you play on feel, if you're off just a little bit, it can expose some other areas. You know, when you're not a technically sound goaltender, or perhaps you're not playing percentages. So I think they've really done a good job of trying to defend in front of them, really keep everything to the outside. They give up some shots, but I think they've been happy with giving up the stuff from the outside. There's rebounds there to be had. It's not a perfect game. He's willing to go out and play pucks, but he does make mistakes when he plays pucks from time to time. So I think he's a guy that you can, if you throw volume at him, I think over time, you know, the Bruins find a way to get some quality. I mean, obviously when you got a sniper like Pastrnak, that's a guy that doesn't need very many chances. And I don't know that Lyon has seen that type of pressure and that type of skill and that type of finish here down the stretch. They've been a team that's been stingy, but they've kept it to the outside. I just wonder if at some point if he's just a hair off in the way that he's played, it certainly affects the confidence of the whole group, a group that's been rolling pretty good with him in there, believing in him. But you know how it is. You lose two games on the road to start the series, and all of a sudden all that confidence just, you know, evaporates.
Well, Bush, I guess with that in mind, so since I think we all expect we're going to see Sergei Bobrovsky at some point during the series, you shared the net with him when he broke in Philadelphia with the Flyers. Where is his game the strongest? Where can shooters go to have success?
Yeah, it's been a long time since I played with him. You know, Bob's a really athletic goaltender, real agile. So, you know, he gets the pucks that, you know, some goaltenders can't get to. But he's prone to giving up, you know, some bad goals. And the thing is, when Bob is on, he's sharp and he's tough to beat. But when he's off, pucks seem to get through him, you know. Leaky goals, the kind of goals that, you know, you just, they deflate the bench, you know? So, I think eventually he's going to get in this series. I just can't imagine that they would play a whole series and Bobrovsky does not play. I think you just gotta, you know, you gotta get traffic on him. You gotta get at him. You know what I mean? He's a guy that, you know, he stays calm in there for the most part. Like, he doesn't engage with the opposition, but there are times when you can tell when he's nervous or his game is not as sharp, because then pucks start going through him. And, you know, like I said, the Bruins are a team that, you know, they should be a confident group. I mean, they shouldn't be afraid of anybody. And I think that this Panthers team, if they take it to them, I can't imagine that this thing, I think in a perfect world for Florida, they take it to six, but I think the Bruins should have a fairly decent time with this group, just because I just think the goaltending is going to pose an issue at some point for the Panthers.
Bush, on a general level, we always talk about how much more intense playoff hockey is. How is it different for the goalies?
Yeah, well, the pressure ramps up for the goalies. I mean, every goal, is critical, right? I mean, you give up, you know, you give up a goal and it can change the momentum in a hockey game. You change the momentum in a hockey game, it can change the complexion of a series. And so, you know, and I think nowadays, you know, it just feels like the coaches are so much quicker to get to the hook or to make a change in series with goalies than it's ever been, you know, like maybe more than 10 years ago, but it was always like one guy would play, right? I mean, you'd have to really drop the ball in order to make a change in goal. Now I feel like these coaches, if they don't like what they see, even after one game, they're like, hey, we got to make a change in goal. You know, that's pressure for a goalie. Like you almost feel like you have to be perfect if you want the net. Now, maybe in Boston's case, it's a little bit different because they, you know, they did play the two goaltenders, you know, fairly regularly. And it's not a shocker if Swayman were to go in there versus Ullmark. But for other teams, it's like, you know, you've carried the ball most of the year. And then all of a sudden you're down 2-0 in a series or it's 2-1 now. And now the coach wants to make a change. That's a lot of pressure on the goalie. So, you know, every goal matters. The pressure goes up. You got to be sharp. You got to make sure that the goals you are giving up are ones that aren't the ones that kill your team's momentum.
Bush, just looking around the league, you know, the Western Conference is very interesting because there's no real clear-cut favorite, at least in my mind. I don't know maybe if you agree or disagree, but if you break down a couple of those series out there, you know, what's most intriguing to you? What are you looking for in the West?
Well, Beersy, I think the one team that's come out as a clear-cut favorite to me right now is Edmonton. I feel like what they've done since the trade deadline, their team, like when they lost Adam Larsson in the expansion draft to Seattle, that hole that he left there, they've been trying to fill that ever since, and I think they finally filled it with Matthias Ekholm. So I think their defense is solidified. I think they've solidified the goaltender. I think it's clearly Stuart Skinner who's going to be their guy, and he's a good goaltender. He's proven it this year. Like to me, there's enough runway now to see that he's a solid goaltender, and he makes the saves he's supposed to make. He's going to get run support because they've got the best player in the National Hockey League in Connor McDavid, and maybe the second best one in Leon Draisaitl. I think this Edmonton team is poised. I really do. I think they're the team in the West that is going to be tough to beat. Now they're going against a team like LA who defends well, so it's a great contrast of styles. They had a great series last year, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But aside from that, you know, I think Colorado is going to have an easy time with Seattle. Makar should play. McKinnon ended the year strong. Rantanen was unbelievable. Yeah, man. I think they're going to have an easy time with Seattle in that series. The one series that I really look forward to is the Minnesota Dallas series. I think that's going to be a real, you know, old school match up there where I think Minnesota, in my opinion, if I was the coach, I would be trying to run some guys out of the building in that series. And the guys that I would target if I'm Minnesota, I'm going after Robertson and I'm going after Wyatt Johnston. Those two guys, you know, Johnston had a great year, rookie season, played with Jamie Benn all year. He was there to protect him. But I think Minnesota's a team, like you got Middleton on the back end, Reeves, even Duhame. Those guys should be in Foligno. They should be going around running those guys every shift. Every, you know what I mean, and make it hard on them. The top line from Dallas is good. They play hard. They're heavy. They got skill. But I think if you can kind of push Robertson and maybe Johnston out of that series, I don't know that Dallas has the meat to kind of hang in there with Minnesota. But you can't deny what Dallas has done this year. They're good defensively. They score. They're a good team, but it'll be interesting to see when you get in a playoff series if there's that little intimidation that you used to see in your day, Beersy, if that rears its head in there. I don't know. I don't know if it will. That's the way I would game plan it, but that should be a fun series.
Did I read, Bush, that Minnesota's going to do a platoon with the goaltender? Is that was that accurate, or maybe I misread that because they've got Fleury and Gustafson, who have both had really good years.
Yeah. Yeah, they both had good years. Gustafson, I think surprised many people from the outside, but truthfully, you know, Billy Guerin had him when Billy was the assistant general manager there in Pittsburgh. You know, he was in charge of the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre team, and Gustafson was down there, and he was original pick of the Pittsburgh Penguins. So I think Guerin had a comfortability with that player. And I don't think a lot of people around the league knew had a book on Gustafson. I know the Senators, you know, moved him, and he turned out to be a guy that maybe the Sens wish they still had, but he had a great year. I think they have confidence in both goaltenders. I think Fleury will be the game one starter, seeing that he's the veteran guy. But I think for Fleury, he's at that point in his career too, where he's a little bit older, and the games come fast and furious. He could use a breather from time to time. You know, even when he was in Pittsburgh, he couldn't really carry the ball. You know, when they were winning the Stanley Cups, they were Matt Murray. So I think for Fleury, you know, he's one of those guys. If he played 10 to 12 playoff games and got you 8 wins, that'd be great. And I think the other guy, they're confident that he can do the same, but they're going to have a tough test against Dallas. If they don't get to that skill on Dallas, I think, you know, it could be a tough series for Minnesota, considering they've got a few injuries. I don't know if Erickson Ek is ready. I know Kaprizov came back, but they're banged up just a bit, the Wild are.
Boost, last thing for you. I'm guessing as you're preparing for some of those games out west, you might have your eye on a series out east in the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Tampa Bay Lightning, because it seems like the weight of the world is on the Maple Leafs this year. Do they finally get out of the first round?
Yes, they do. I had them the last two games of the season, Judd, and they played – well, they're not their last two games of the season. They're second to last and they're third to last. They played Florida in a game that meant nothing for the Leafs, right? It meant everything for the Panthers. And Samsonov stood on his head. He was terrific in that game. They won that game in overtime. And then the next night in Tampa Bay, on the second half of a back-to-back, they played Tampa. And Tampa, who had been struggling, the game meant something for Tampa. They had to get their game in order. And with Joe Woll in goal and no Matthews and no Marner, they won. This Toronto team, they defend well. They've got depth on their blue line now. I don't know if the quality of depth is there versus maybe some other opponents, but they've got bodies. So they can plug guys in and out. They can play hard. The additions of guys like Ryan O'Reilly and even like a guy like Sam Lafferty, Nola Chari, I think they help up front for the group to defend so they don't put a ton of pressure on their back end. This team's deep, and I think they're poised to beat Tampa. I don't know that Tampa is the same team that they were in years past. They're just not. I feel like they've played a lot of hockey, and eventually it catches up to you. I think Toronto gets by them. It's going to make a great second-round matchup against Boston, and I think Dubas's moves pay off to get him past the first round. He certainly scorched the earth on the way to doing it, and you can't blame him. And his job's on the line. You got to go all in. He certainly did that, and I think it's enough to get them by Tampa in the first round, and it should make a hell of a matchup in round two with you guys.
Brian Boucher, we will see and hear a lot of him on ESPN over the next couple of months. Brian, we appreciate you taking the time with us this morning.
All right, guys. Great to be with you.
Thanks, Boucher.
Really appreciate it.
All right. He joins us, of course, on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, previewing the Stanley Cup playoffs, which get underway on Monday night. Bruins and the Florida Panthers, game one at TD Garden, of course, right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub throughout the postseason, with Judd and Bob on the call. We've got another hour still to go. We'll get back to more of your calls coming up. And Ty Anderson of 98.5thesportshub.com will join us here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.